good to be here this morning to sing praises unto God and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. I believe that was David said, I was glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord. It's good to see each and every one here this morning. I know that we all are living in a time where we all are busy, we have busy schedules. But when we come to a point where we do not have time to take 1 hour out of our busy schedules to sit down and to hear a portion of God's holy and divine word, we have become just a little too busy. I'm here this morning, brothers and sisters, because I love the Lord, I adore Him, and I worship Him. I just hope and pray this morning as we study a portion of God's holy and divine word, that something in God's word will prick our hearts just to bring us a little closer to God and the price that He sent His Son here to pay for us, that you and I one day will be able to see His face in peace. My subject this morning is the cup of blessings. And surely our heart go out to Brother Tom and his family and the loss of his father. Something that we all one day will have to face. And we need to look at it this morning, brother and sister, if we are not members of the church that Christ built. Not only were we most miserable men and women in this world today, but in the world to come. And I say this morning as we study God's word and we find that something in God's word pricks our heart, I would to God this morning, if you're not a member of the household of faith, that you will stand up and you will come forward and give your life to Christ. In this lesson this morning, we're going to look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it's the cup of blessing. The Apostle Paul is the writer this morning in this book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to notice in these passages of scriptures, the Apostle Paul said, moreover, brethren, he said, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all drink the same spiritual and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. He said, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither were they adulterers. Neither be ye adulterers, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur, and that word murmur is complain. He said, neither murmur as ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of this world are come. And that's speaking to us, because we are living in our last days. When Christ ascended up into heaven, we started to live in our last days, not knowing that when he will come again. The Bible says in verse 12, says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he falls. And I love this scripture. Verse 13 says, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, God didn't say that we wouldn't be tempted. He said, we are going to be tempted. He said, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee adultery. Paul said, I speak as a wise man, judge ye what I say. And this is the heart of the lesson right here. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And this is the heart of our lesson this morning, the cup of blessing. But before that we go any further into this lesson this morning, we count this as a great privilege, an opportunity for us to be able to talk to our Creator, our Heavenly Father, in spirit and in truth. At this time, while the one has been selected to lead us in prayer, let us humble ourselves. I'd just like to read a passage of scriptures with us this morning, coming from the Word of God. And it's coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. I believe the verse is 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 24. The scripture says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And it says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. And that word mammon is a Chaldean word which means riches. And this is where most worldly men put their trust, is in riches and in money. And the Bible says no man can serve two masters. And these passages of scripture that we're looking at this morning, money is used in the text of an idol. Is how it's used. And putting something else before God. And so if our ultimate trust this morning is not in God, then it must be in something else. And these are the texts of these scriptures this morning, that no man can serve two masters. I just want to look at another translation. And I want to read it to you this morning. This is another translation of the same scriptures. And notice what it has to say. It said, ye cannot be the slave of two masters, for you will like one more than the other, or be more loyal to one than the other. It said, ye cannot serve both God and money. In this translation, kind of some plain talk this morning, isn't it? Then we look at the book of 1 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 6. And Timothy talks about the love of money. And we just want to look at a passage of scripture there in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I believe it's verse 10. And see what Timothy has to say. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. Notice what Timothy says. He said, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, said they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now, Timothy speaks about the love of money. And I just want to look at this translation here that I have in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 and see what it says. Notice what it says. It said, "The love of money causes all kinds of trouble. Some people want money so much that they have given up their faith and cause themselves a lot of pain," in this translation. So, brothers and sisters and friends this morning, when we look at the cup of blessings, we have faith in God, what God has instituted. We have faith in it. And I want you to know this morning that a lot of people will not obey the gospel because of the one cup that the Bible teaches. A lot of people stumble at that cup. And I don't know about you, but see, I have not always been a member of the Church of Christ. I was practicing another religion, the Baptist faith. And in the Baptist faith, we use multiple cups. And some say that it's for convenient. It's expedient that they use these multiple cups. But you know, I thank God this morning that God led us to the true church. And in the true church of Christ, you will only find one cup. All you're going to find is one cup in that true church. And I want you to know something, that when I first came in contact with the Church of Christ, and the preacher preached a gospel sermon, and when we got ready to participate in the Lord's Supper, and the one cup was revealed, man, I stared at that cup. I stared at that one cup on the table, because I was used to many cups, drinking out of, like the individual cups. And this one cup was on the table. But I could read in the Bible that the Bible only spoke of one. And that's what I was reading that morning in my first contact with the Church of Christ, was that one cup. And God had left us instructions here. And we all are used to instructions. This is something that we have been getting ever since that we were kids. We're instruction. We're used to it. Let me give you an example. Johnny, don't walk in the water with your shoes. You might ruin your shoes. Susie, don't run with the scissors in your hand. You might fall and hurt yourself. Children, make sure that you clean your room up when you get up. And when you finish eating, make sure that you wash the dishes. Clean up behind yourselves. And when I was coming up, and also mop the floor. Some of you all don't know about that. But these are instructions that we are used to from our childhood all the way up until adults. But now when it comes to admonishing one another, the Bible tells us that we have to be careful when we admonish one another. And he tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 6, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which is spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We have to be very careful when we come to admonishing one another. A famous comedian said, I heard him say one time, he said that he was sitting at the table with his grandmother. And his grandmother looked at him and she said, boy, I am sick, and he said, and tired of you. And he said when he woke up, he was underneath the table. You see, he finished his grandmother's statement. And she admonished him for that. You see, we can't admonish each other like that. We have to be very careful when it comes to admonishing one another. And so the Bible has left up a set of instruction this morning. And I want you to know this morning, as we look at the Word of God, I am not here this morning to defend the gospel of Christ. Just like throwing old Bro Rabbit in the brow patch when it comes to defending the gospel. That's what I'm not here for. I'm here just to tell the truth. I'm not here to defend the gospel. You see, the defending the gospel is just like a bear in a cage. He's not in there for his defense. He's in there for yours. And if you don't believe it, let him out. And that's the only thing I have to do with the gospel this morning, is just tell the truth, and the gospel will defend itself. And I just want to tell the truth this morning, brothers and sisters, about the one cup. And this morning, I want you to know that we come this morning to a nice building. We have nice plush seat this morning that we come and sit to hear the gospel of Christ. And I never will forget the first day that I came to a Church of Christ worship service. And this is back in Memphis, Tennessee. And we walked into this little building. It was a shack. It was raining that day. And we were coming from the Baptist faith. And where I was coming from, in our building that we used to go to church, they had red carpets that you walk in the floor when you walk in. The preacher had a robe on. I didn't see that. They had a choir. I didn't see that. So I'm walking to this environment that I didn't see. They had musical instruments. I didn't see that. And my first encounter with the Church of Christ. And as I was sitting there, it was raining, and they had a bucket in the floor that was catching a leak. It was leaking from the top, and the bucket was catching the leak. And I looked down at the floor, and you could see the ground from where I was sitting in this little shack. And I'm coming from this plush building, and where people drove fancy cars and had fancy clothes on. And I walked into this building, and there this one cup is, and heard my first gospel sermon. You can imagine what I was going through that day. But you know, the preacher preached a sermon that morning, and I had my Bible with me. And when he finished preaching, I asked him a question. I said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I said, yes, I believe that. You believe that God raised him from the dead? I said, yes. He said, then you need to be baptized. I said, I've already been baptized. And he says that baptism didn't put you in Christ. You know why it didn't put me in Christ? Because the teaching was wrong. They had taught me that I was saved before that I was baptized. And that on the fourth Sunday of the month and they were going to have a baptism, that I was already saved. That's what they taught me. And that baptism didn't put me in Christ. I was practicing a different religion. And I started thinking about that. And on my way home, I told my wife, Sandra, I said, you know, I said, come next Sunday, I said, I'm going back. I'm going to get baptized. And she said, wait a minute, hold on, wait. She thought I was making a rash decision. She said, let's keep looking. And we were searching for the truth. I told her, I said, we have already found the truth. There's nothing else to look for. And then next Lord's Day, I went back and I obeyed the gospel. And I brought my wife, Sandra, a book on baptism to show her where a person goes when they're not baptized into Christ. When I went back to a Bible study that Wednesday, and she went back to her home church that Sunday when I got baptized. And she was telling me that she saw everything that the preacher was preaching about at the Church of Christ. And the next Lord's Day, she came and got baptized. And brothers and sisters, we hadn't looked back since. But there have been some rocky roads, because you see, when we first obeyed the gospel, you had people coming to us that we hadn't seen in years. I remember when we were moving in our house, some pretend that they couldn't even find where we were living, but when we obeyed the gospel, they found us. And I never forget my aunt. She was from a holiness church. And she had a stature where she was a tall lady. And she walked in our house and she said, you got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Sandra and I, we looked at each other. We said, well, we know we've been baptized, but we didn't get baptized with fire. And come to find out, as you study the scripture, you don't want to get baptized with fire. And Sandra's uncle was from a church that practiced, he was a member of the Church of Christ, but they practiced multiple cups. And he heard about we had obeyed the gospel. And he came by our house. He wanted to study with us. And we didn't know anything then. We were just babes in Christ. Just eager and wanted to learn about God. And so we invited a couple of members from the church, the true church, to come in that Bible study. And every time this person would bring up opposition to what the true church stood for, this brother and his wife would show them scripturally where it was wrong. And after that study, we walked him to our front door and he was leaving. And this is what he told us. He said, the only reason I came by your house tonight, he said, I just want to save you guys. He said, but that guy that's sitting back there, he said, I can't help him. He's too far gone. And Sandra and I looked at each other. We said, that's where we want to be. Too far gone, so grounded and rooted in the gospel that we are not turned around. And brothers and sisters, we hadn't looked back since. I remember talking to Sister Bumalo one Lord's Day about the one cup. I said, Sister Bumalo, I said, how long have you been in the gospel? She said, 65 years I've been in the gospel. I said, have you ever caught anything from drinking from the one cup? She said, no. And nor have I given anybody anything drinking from the one cup. 65 years. Man, I was 3 years old when Sister Bumalo obeyed the gospel. 3 years old, she'd been drinking from that one cup. And the Bible teaches us this morning, brothers and sisters, as you go through the scriptures, you'll find out that this day right here, the Lord's day, that people have assembled themselves upon the Lord's day, and they will read the same scriptures that I read this morning concerning the one cup, and they'll say that he took the cup. But when you look at what they're doing, you see multiple cups on the table. They say he took the loaf. And you look at the Lord's table, they got multiple crackers on the table. When the Bible only speaks of the loaf, you will find that. They have desecrated the Lord's table through their practice. And brothers and sisters, one day they're going to have to give an account of that. Desecrating the Lord's table. All these multiple cups. All the crackers that they use. And they say that this is the Lord's table. Notice what the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It tells us this morning that there's only one cup that you see. And when you read the scriptures, you're not going to find but one cup. Notice what the Bible says here. It says that 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. Notice what it says. He said the cup. Now, do you see a S on cup when it says the cup? Or do you see just one cup? There's no S on that cup. And you can have a child to read that, and children, they'll tell you that that's one. But men and women read it, and they'll put an S on that. There's only one cup. He said he took the cup. And these passages of scriptures here, in the book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, you're going to only find one cup when it comes to the Lord's table. In the book of Mark chapter 14 and verse 22, you're going to find one cup when you read those passages of scriptures. In the book of Luke chapter 22 and verse 15, you're going to only find one cup. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, you're going to only find one cup. And that cup is to let us know that we are under one testament, the New Testament. That's the representation of the one cup. Only one cup that you will find in the Bible. But people put an S on it because they want to do what they want to do. You know what? We got scriptures on that. We got scriptures on people saying one thing and doing another. Come with me to the book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1. And let's take a look at that and test it with the scriptures and see what men do. Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to look at verse 1. And this is another translation I'm reading for us, not the King James Version. But I want you to notice what this passage of scripture has to say. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1, it says, Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, notice what Jesus said to them. He said, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are expert in the law of Moses. They're experts in the law of Moses. He said, so obey everything they teach you, but don't do as they do. He said, after all, they say one thing and they do something else. Can you see what people are doing this morning? They say one thing and they're doing something else. And that's what we have to be mindful of. I talked to Brother Mike Murphy one morning. You know, there's two Church of Christ's right down the street from where I live in Claremont. They're within walking distance. And I tell the brother Mike, I said, you know what, brother Mike? I said, sometimes I get mad as I'm passing by this Church of Christ that I'm driving 1 hour away because they're not teaching what the Bible teach. But they have the name up there saying Church of Christ. But when you walk inside, that doctrine is totally different than what the Bible is teaching. And that's what I thank God also for the truth. Brother Mike said, Brother Nelson, he said, I don't even think about it. I just get up in the morning, I drive 3 hours to the true worship service. Don't think about it. But sometimes I get mad knowing that I'm in walking distance of a church that has the name on it, Church of Christ. But they are teaching something different than what the Bible is teaching. The Bible only speaks of one cup and one loaf. And the Bible tells us that God has left us instructions to follow. And notice what the Apostle Paul teaches. He said, moreover, brethren, he said, I would not you should be ignorant in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He's talking about the Israelites. When the Israelites escaped bondage out of Egypt, brothers and sisters, they were on their way to Canaan. This was a type physical heaven. And this land, the Bible says, flowed with milk and honey. We are on our way to heaven. That's where we are. Notice, they all were under this cloud. God led them by a cloud. And the Bible says that everywhere those children of Israel went, the cloud was there leading them to the promised land. Just like we are under the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they were baptized. And this one thing that we have to be careful of as children of God. On our way to heaven, one thing that we want to make sure is that our salvation is sure. Because you see, where we go when we die is determined on how we are living right now. It's where we go when we die. So we need to examine ourselves is to make sure that we are where God wants us to be and we are doing what God wants us to do. And notice what the Bible says here. He says that in verse 2, it says, all were baptized unto Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. They all were baptized. The Bible says unto Moses. He was their leader that was leading them out of bondage into this land that was flowing with milk and honey. And so you see, Egypt and the people that followed them was a type sin that they had left. And Pharaoh was a type devil that followed them. And the Bible used water both to save and destroy. They were all baptized. And that's what we have to be careful of, that, you see, we all have been baptized under Christ. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, said, for as many as has been baptized under Christ have put on Christ. The children of Israel were baptized unto Moses. We are baptized unto Christ. And we're on our way to heaven. And so we have to make sure that we're on this journey that's pleasing and acceptable with God. Notice what the Bible says that. He says that in verse 3, all did eat of the same spiritual meat, and all did drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Just like us. We all come together We drink of the same spiritual drink, the fruit of the vine. We also eat of the same spiritual meat. We all do that this morning. And we have to make sure that our salvation is sure. And that's one thing that we want to make sure, that our salvation is sure. Notice in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Notice what the Apostle Paul teaches here. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it in unto subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Are we hearing what the Apostle Paul is saying this morning? He has to make sure he kept his body under subjection. Because he can be preaching to others and be a castaway himself. We have to make sure that we're doing what God tells us to do. In other words, he can be rejected if he's not careful. You know what that scripture said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12? He said, he that think he's standing, he said, take heed, lest he falls. We have to make sure that we are standing. I want to look at another passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and see what these passages of scripture has to say about making sure of our election. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. This is very important. That we know this, that we know that we are saved. We have to know it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, he said, "Examine yourselves." He says, "Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." He said, examine yourselves. Do we know what a reprobate is? A reprobate is a person that God has rejected and have allowed this person to go on in their condemned state. God has rejected that person. So you can go on in your condemned state with a reprobate mind. Because that person will not accept the word of God and God's teaching. Paul said, you have to examine yourselves, is to make sure that you're in the faith. You know, sometimes when I travel around the different congregations, I notice sometimes when the one cup is passed around, you have even some Christian sort of twist the cup. And these are Christians. As if they might catch something. You know what? Men and women will meet in dark places as total strangers. And they will engage in lip lock and kissing. They don't worry about catching anything then. But when they come to the Lord's table, they says it's unsanitary. But they don't worry about catching anything then. Brothers and sisters, when I looked at that one cup, I had a decision to make. I had a choice to make. And my choice was that I could see there was only one cup in the Bible. And I said, you know what? I'm talking to myself. I said, if I catch something, I'm going to catch it doing what the Lord say do. And therefore, if I die, I know where I'm going because I'm doing what God say do. That was my attitude in coming in contact with the cup of blessing. Because it is the cup of blessing. This is where our spirituality flows from, is this cup. Every Lord's Day, we are commanded to come together and to sup with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that where there's two or three that assemble in his name, he said, there I am also in the midst. And so this morning, we don't see Jesus, but we have assembled in his name, and true fellowship, and Christ is here with us, although we don't see him. This is where we commune with Christ, is at the Lord's table this morning. In the one cup. False doctrine is dangerous and is very damnable. And therefore, a lot of people have been indoctrinated in this false doctrine. And the Word of God is the only thing that's going to get us out of it. It's when we stick to what is written in the Bible, because false doctrine will destroy us. It will kill our faith and following after false doctrine. Now, some of you probably don't know this person. You're too young, but there's a person by the name of Paul Harvey, a radio personality. He told the story one day on how the Eskimos kill a wolf. He said, this is how they kill a wolf. He said, what the Eskimos will do, they will take a knife and they will sharpen this knife and sharpen that knife until it becomes razor sharp. He said, then they will take the knife and they will lace it on both sides with blood until you can't see the blade anymore. And he said, and then at night, the Eskimo would take this knife and stick the blade up in the ground at night. And said, when the wolf would smell the blood, the wolf would come. And he would begin to lick this knife. And he licked it so ferociously until he cut his own tongue in the licking of the blood. And he didn't realize that he was bleeding out himself. And then in the morning time, the wolf would be dead, from bled out from his tongue being cut. And the Eskimos had a new pair of shoes. That's how they kill a wolf. This is what false doctrine will do to us if we let it. It will destroy us. It will kill our faith. Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that gently seek him. God will reward us. And brothers and sisters, the one cup this morning is the only cup that you will find in the true church. It's just that one cup. And I have a little article here. I just want to read it and we'll come to the conclusion of the lesson. This is an article here, and I left some pamphlets back there on the stand if you want to pick one up this morning. Here's what it says here. And you can see the container here of individual cups. Notice what it says. It says, until the end of the 19th century, the chalice, or the cup, was used in the distribution of the wine at the Lord's table. At that time, more attention began to be paid to hygiene, and the use of a common cup began to be unpopular with communion. It says, Reverend J. G. Thomas, who was both a minister and a physician, was the originator of the idea of individual cups. This guy was a reverend, and also he was a doctor. He said, from his medical practice, he learned the uncleanness and danger in the common cup and felt that the Lord's Supper could be made by the use of individual cups, and his patent was granted in the service and was held in a little Putnam County church in Ohio. Later upon moving to Lima, Ohio, Mr. Thomas invented a tray to hold the brass cups and also a filler. The idea immediately became popular in his facility. Now notice this. G.C. Brewer brought them into the churches of Christ. This is what G.C. Brewer has to say. He said, a good many of the fights I have made have been with my own brethren on points where I believe them to be in the wrong. I was the first preacher to advocate the use of individual communion cups in the Church of Christ in the state of Tennessee. that adopted it and was the church for which I was preaching. The Central Church of Christ, Chattanooga, Tennessee, then meeting in the Masonic Temple. My next work was with the church at Columbia, Tennessee. And after a long struggle, I got the individual communion service into the congregation. Now, if you don't know the truth, which we didn't, you walk into a religious body and you see individual cup, you think that's just normal. If you don't know the truth. But when you come to the truth, you'll find that that's just only one cup. Because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, instituted. And what men and women are saying, that what Christ has instituted is nasty. So therefore, they don't want to drink from the one cup. Brothers, sisters, and friends, Sister Bumalo is telling me she has been drinking from it 65 years. I'm going on 40 years. And neither have I even caught a cold from drinking from the one cup. The Lord knows how to deliver us. He knows how to preserve the righteous. If we're afraid to drink from the one cup, oh ye with little faith, because that's where we have to put our trust in God. He's our Savior. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And hopefully this morning from this lesson, it will stir up our pure minds. It just calls us just to think as we journey through this life that there's only one God and one faith. God is not the author of confusion. He's not going to tell somebody over there, you have individual cups, and you over there, you have multiple cups. He's not going to do that. And God tells us the same thing in his plan of salvation. Now, man will have you to be saved some other way. God only tells us there's only one way for us to be saved. Now, a lot of times when I share the gospel with people and the God plan of salvation, some people will jump dumb on me. They pretend that they don't even understand what I'm talking about. But I bet you when the policeman stop you and tell you to get out of the car and put your hands on the car and spread eagle, I bet you won't go in your pocket. Because you know the consequences of that. It's the same thing with our spiritual life. God is grateful and he's merciful. But there's consequences that we have to face when we don't obey God. And one day we all are going to have to give an account of everything that we've done in this body, whether it's good or bad. We're going to have to give an account. Now, this is God's plan of salvation. He says, first, you have to hear my word. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We just can't hear anything. We have to hear what is written in God's word. And God has showed us how much that he loves us. By sending his only son into this world to die for us, he showed us how much that he loved us. And we need to hear that. And after hearing it, the Bible says we must believe it. St. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Jesus, I'll tell you, nay, except ye believe that I am he. He said, you will die in your sins. So we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We have to believe that. And Jesus says that in verse 21 in that same patch of scripture, he said, if you die in your sins, he said, where I am, ye cannot come. We can't come where Jesus is if we die in our sins. And after we believe that, the Bible tells us that we must repent. We have to give up our old ways of thinking. When I first heard the gospel, and I knew it was the truth in my first gospel sermon, I knew that was the truth because I could read it in the Bible. But you know what I was thinking about? Is what other people are going to say about me. What are they going to think about me? What are my relatives going to say? Me coming from the Baptist into the Church of Christ. What are my friends going to think about me? That's what I was thinking about. I knew it was the truth. But I had to repent. Luke 13:3 say, I'll tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we have to change our mind. We have to start living for God. And after repentance comes a good confession. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Said, thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, a person asked me once, he said that, can you change those steps around? Can I make the confession and then hear God's word? How are you going to make a confession of something that you haven't heard? You have to. These steps are in order. They are divine plan of salvation that God has instituted. And you can't change these steps because God wrote these steps through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we can't change it around. And some people say, well, you know what? Right there, I'm saved. The Bible says that. Everyone that call upon the Lord of the Jesus Christ shall be saved. They don't read the rest of the scriptures. How are you going to come intact with the blood of Jesus Christ? This is where we have our sins washed away. Is the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to come in contact with the blood. And we come in contact with the blood is in the watery grave of baptism. That's where we get our sins washed away. Until we are baptized, you can hear God's word, you can believe it, you can repent, you can make the confession, but until you are baptized, then you're not saved. Because you have to have your sins washed away. Our conscience has to be purified. The Bible says that's how we get our conscience purified. That's how do we know that we've done what God say he wants us to do. It's through that blood that we come in contact with to have our sins washed away. Then once we go through this step, then when we start to walk in the newness of life, when we stumble and fall and make mistakes, we're to repent and we are to make the confession and ask for the prayers of the righteous that we might continue to walk in the faith when we sin a sin that has shamed the church. We can get up in God's second law of pardon and make that confession. So this morning, if we're subject to the gospel in any manner, we just need prayers. While we're saying the song of invitation, we might come forward.